I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, 9 to 11 o'clock on weekdays, offering up a safe space for the independent thinker out there beholden to no party, no politician. As I started my show, I originally said it was it's the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. I got tired of saying that, but it's true. It's true. We look behind the headlines, and boy, do we have some some stories today about true media corruption. So we'll get to that stuff next hour, Fridays, as always, 10 o'clock. This stuff with Ukraine is heating up. They are doing their best in spite of Ukraine's insistence that they're good. They say they're fine. But the U.S. and Western powers are just hell-bent on trying to crank off a war there. So we'll talk about that next hour, and then we'll finish up this week, as we always do with This Week on the Crazy Train, chock full of clips that just show you the descent into madness of humanity, particularly in the Western world. I'll start off some stuff today. Some pretty funny stuff, though. Yesterday, there were Babylon Bee. Boy, there's some clever guys there. I'd like to do I'll do it unpaid. I'd do a one-week internship at the Babylon Bee just to sit around their offices and brainstorm some of the stuff they come up with. It's got to be a blast. They put out one of their stories. You know, M&M's announced they were going to start making their characters, the M&M's that appear in the commercials, they're going to somehow make them more diverse. You know, the Sesame Street did this too. They just announced their first Asian puppet. And I found myself looking at the screenshot of it, and it was a lot of the different characters and this new Asian character, and I was just thinking to myself, what the hell race is a Cookie Monster? Ernie and Bert. Bernie and Ert. It's been a while. Bert and Ernie are what are they like? One of them's a POC, a person of color. Well, they're both a person of color. I think Ernie is yellow. So I don't know. But anyway, we know where this stuff is headed. These companies, these large corporations. I guess that's M&M Mars. So they announced they were going to start making the M&M's characters more inclusive somehow. And again, I don't know if you've got one that's red and one that's blue and one that's brown and one that's yellow and one that's green. That's pretty diverse crowd to me, but apparently they need to add some other things. Babylon Bee put out a piece that said M&M's introduced new trans character who identifies as a Skittle. I got to tell you, almost any joke with the word Skittle in it cracks me up for some reason. It's the word, Skittle. But I passed that one on to just about everybody I knew last night that cracked me up so much. One of my friends who is a libertarian, like myself, sent me back something that I'd not seen before. It's the Babylon Bee Guide to Spotting a Libertarian. some of the ways to spot a libertarian. Carries AR-15 everywhere. He's never had to use it, and he's kind of bummed about that. Smug look of superiority. Libertarians are better than you, and they know it. non-existent girlfriend. The fedora hasn't yet worked its magic. Now, there's something on here about libertarians wearing an attractive fedora. And that was lost on me. I'm not really sure. Maybe that's a... I'm not a fedora guy. I haven't really noticed the fedoras in libertarians. You know, libertarians will make fun of themselves very quickly. A lot of libertarians talk about most of us are somehow on the autism spectrum. In the Babylon Bee on spotting a libertarian, it says, carries boring-sounding books around. So many pages. Ugh. And I've told you, there's a lot of very well-read libertarians out there, a lot of libertarian philosophy and economics, some real deep stuff that a lot of people read. I've read some of it, but not all of it. I'm more of a common-sense libertarian as far as I'm concerned. This one was kind of funny. It says, listening to his own podcast. His mother is the other listener. spotting a libertarian, according to the Babylon Bee, it says Ron Paul neck tattoo, Gadsden flag shirt purchased with stimulus check. Now, that was the only one I took a little bit of offense to, but it's probably true. There are probably libertarians who did take the stimmies, but I got to tell you, I don't judge anybody who took some of their money back by hook or by crook, I say. They say on here, suspicious smelling cigarette. He's carrying it for a friend. And then here's the one that definitely goes to me. Definitely skips legs day. Legs smaller than his respect for the federal government. This is spotting a libertarian from Babylon Bee. I've got to tell you, there's a lot of days. I go to the gym 4 to 6 days a week. I'll find any reason to skip legs day. So maybe that does describe me. While we're laughing, I thought... There's a meme going out there. It's actually, I mean, it's really just a picture of one of the protests. I'm not sure exactly where this was, but it's obviously a vaccine mandate protest. And, you know, anybody who calls into question the efficacy or the safety of these clot shots is considered some level of a conspiracy theorist. The media has done its best to paint all of us that way. Someone's holding up a sign that says, "My tinfoil hat won't give me myocarditis." that's a great sign. I got to tell you, it is the right now that's on fire with humor. There's also something else funny yesterday. See, this is a Friday show. We're going to let it hang out there. There's been some really funny stuff going on. You know, now the CDC, CNN, all of the people that have been telling you for the last 22 months to wear that ridiculously ineffective and dangerous, that's right, I said dangerous for your health, cloth mask, the little bacteria trap that many people willingly slap onto their face. I don't know why I keep getting these chest colds. They finally come out and told you that the cloth masks are merely decoration and they do absolutely nothing for the virus. And now they're trying to get people in these N95 masks. And a lot of these things poke out. You've seen these things. And apparently there is, I guess, a theme going around that they're starting to be called the bird people. I got to tell you, I really kind of liked that. That's pithy and accurate. All of these people walking around with their N95 beaks because they're hysterically scared of this cold virus that's floating around. So they're willing to don the beak. I'd say they are loons. This is kind of interesting, too. I thought, okay, well, what bird are they? So they could be loons, they could be cuckoos, they could be dodos, they could be parrots, because all they do is just say exactly what Anthony Fauci told them to say. They could be albatrosses around the neck of the rest of us, or just chickens. And, you know, as I was looking through that, I had never realized how many bird names are derogatory terms for people. I don't know what disrespect we have for birds, but there's a lot of birds named very disrespectful things. And it kind of coincided where I saw this last night. Yesterday, I had passed a truck carrying chickens. You've seen these going down as the long 18-wheelers with the little holes in the side. I used to sell food processing, industrial uniforms, things like this. So I got very familiar with what are called reefers, which are refrigerated trucks, and some of the food processors who take, you know, I did a lot of business with chicken houses, so I got to know what a chicken truck looked like. And I saw one pass me the other day, and it reminded me of something that I had seen years and years and years ago. Have you ever been asked what your spirit animal is? You've heard this concept of, you know, I could probably go online and put my birth date, or I don't know, answer questions, and you find out what your spirit animal is. Well, I remember I was taking the kids with another family down to a canoeing trip down in the Bogachita. This must have been 10 years ago. And we're driving down the road, minding our own business, and we'd start to pass a truck that's carrying a bunch of chickens. And one of the kids in the back seat goes, "Oh my God, Dad, look." And we looked, and there was one chicken that had flown the coop. It was outside of the cages, and there was a little ledge behind the cab of the 18-wheeler. And this chicken was just sitting on the ledge there, feathers flapping in the winds. And it was just, I don't know, it was just kind of a weird sight, and particularly to a bunch of kids, but even me. But I noticed at that time, and I was reminded yesterday when I saw this chicken hauling truck, that's my spirit animal. Now, I don't know what happened to that chicken. She was not in the safe confines of the cage. Her feathers were just flapping in the wind, and she was risking her life. But she was willing to risk her life to not be in the comfort of that cage. And that chicken that I saw that had escaped and was catching a ride in the back of the semi, and I would imagine made a mad dash for it as soon as the truck stopped, that's my spirit animal. Uncaged chicken. When I come back, boy, this is going to be kind of upbeat. I've got some more serious stuff, but it's kind of an upbeat show. There is something just absolutely amazing going on in the world right now. It is just a beautiful sight, and it gets beautifuler and beautifuler and beautifuler every day. We'll talk about it when I come back. Then.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do.
Many of us have just been absolutely horrified and mystified by what has been going on in Italy, in Austria, in Great Britain, in Australia, and in Canada. The churches shut down, the pastors arrested up in Canada. They've really been taking it on the chin, and we look around and just say, our Canadian brothers and sisters, you're supposed to be a free country like the United States. What has happened to you? Well, it's interesting. Apparently, and you may find this a real stretch, very hard to believe. Apparently, the media has probably really kind of painted the Canadians as a much more compliant people than they actually are. And that is witnessed by what is taking place in Canada right now with the truckers. The Canadian truckers are growing this movement. It is getting a big, absolutely huge, even up to and including its own theme song. I ran across this morning.
Yes, we're rolling down the Yellowhead, we're coming down the one. We're rolling 18-wheelers and we're bringing everyone who's tired of waiting for you to come around. Oh, Mr. Prime Minister, we're coming to your town.
I love it. The video is obviously full of some good humor at Justin Trudeau's expense, the Prime Minister of Canada, as well as just long, 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 long video of the convoys of these truckers. Apparently, from what I've heard, this is up to 50,000 big rig trucks. And as they head down these highways, they're going to Ottawa. I think they're going to other places. Canadians are lined up along bridges. It actually will give you a little bit of chills to watch this. Almost a tear to your eye to see these people fighting for their freedom up in Canada and realizing the sheer numbers of people who have joined this resistance movement up there with our northern neighbors all along the roadsides. And just to put into context what can happen to a city when 50,000 big rigs roll in, just imagine if every resident of Madison County or Madison, the city, I forget the populations, but basically it's if every resident of Madison and Brandon all drove big rig trucks and all went out on the road at exactly the same time. Can you imagine what the streets of Madison and Brandon would look like if every single resident of these areas rolled out in their big rigs at the same time? That's the power of these truckers. I've been talking about how these truckers could save us all. Truckers, nurses, and lawyers. Could save us all, and all of them are making moves. I've got a move on the attorney side in just a second. And what's amazing to think, amazing and a little sad commentary on us Americans, we could learn from our Canadian brothers and sisters. These truckers are not hauling loads. The vast majority of them are not pulling a trailer. They're not hauling loads. They're not making any money. They're sacrificing income, and I would imagine spending hundreds a day out of pocket for fuel just to stand up to Justin Trudeau. Here in our local area here, we can't get 50 people to take 30 minutes off of work to make it to a school board meeting in time to get masks off your children, to reopen schools, to fight against any pending vaccine mandates for our kids. We can't get 50 people out of, and I've already done the math for you before. I think there's something like 136,000 parents and grandparents in Madison County alone of students in Madison County schools. We can't get 50 people to a school board meeting on a Monday evening at 5 o'clock. You've got 50,000 truckers sacrificing thousands and thousands of dollars in lost income and fuel costs to go out there and put Trudeau in his place. It is especially beautiful because this movement was started when they announced that they were going to have vaccine checkpoints at border crossings. And many of these truckers that did not want to get the clot shot decided that they were going to do a little bit of a protest. And then Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, the beta male Justin Trudeau, the hypocrite Justin Trudeau, opened his pie hole, and this is what he said.
We know the way through this pandemic is by getting everyone vaccinated. And the over...
Israel might disagree with you. Israel, where they're 90% double-dosed, 80% triple-dosed, and 500,000 of them have got the fourth dose now, and they have just set the world record for cases per capita. Yeah, but Justin Trudeau, but just listen to Justin Trudeau.
Overwhelming majority, close to 90% of Canadians have done exactly that. The small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing.
Oh, that was the phrase. This was the phrase that fired up even the vaccinated Canadians, where they realized their prime minister was announcing that some people out there, the troublemakers, hold unacceptable views.
That they're expressing do not represent the views of Canadians who have been there for each other, who know that following the science and stepping up to protect each other is the best way to continue to ensure our freedoms, our rights, our values as a country.
Yeah, that was not at all well received. It added more fuel to the fire, and I believe a great number of more people began to join the protest, either on the side of the road, along the bridges, in underpasses, and in the trucks themselves. So Justin Trudeau backfiring on himself again. And, you know, this is, I've seen some a couple of reports done on this, but overall, the mainstream media, 50,000 truckers rolling through Canada to shut down towns in a protest with hundreds of thousands of Canadians lining highways and overpasses. That's a news story. You wouldn't know it to watch NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, CNN, and I'm not sure if Fox has covered it or not, but they have always said that the revolution would not be televised, and that's what's going on with that as well. So, you know, this is the kind of rebellion that's growing in every single country where this stuff is taking place. And now that we are kind of exercising this muscle that particularly conserve people who just want to go out and earn a living and be left alone have not exercised this muscle of resistance in a while. And you can see it is just like the last 6 to 12 months have been somebody working out in a gym. They're all getting stronger, whether it's people going to these school boards and facing down with them, whether it's people opposing these mandates and walking off the jobs, there's nurse whistleblowers or whatever it is. We've got it all in the show today. This muscle is getting exercised, and it's absolutely a beautiful thing to see. Good to see Canada fighting for its rights. It's a shame they're under that tyrant Trudeau. Hopefully they fix that as well. Now, that kind of leads me into the quote of the day today. Let's see where I'm going here, see if I want to do quotes now or when I come back. I tell you what, I think I'll take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back. Quotes of the day. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do this first one. This is from Rod Serling. Rod Serling, he was the guy that narrated The Twilight Zone. Rod Serling said, quote, All of the Dachau's must remain standing. The Dachau's, the Belsen's, the Buchenwald's, and the Auschwitz's, all of them. They must remain standing because they are a monument to a moment in time when some men decided to turn their earth into a graveyard. Into it they shoveled all of their reason, their logic, their knowledge, but worst of all, their conscience. And the moment we forget this, the moment we cease to be haunted by its remembrance, then we become the grave diggers. This was pretty amazing, and this is obviously referring to the Nazi concentration camps, that they must remain standing so people remember how insane they went during the 1930s in Germany. How the German people put up with something that we can't even imagine today. Well, strangely enough, now we are reimagining it. But it's interesting to listen to when he says this. He says, into it they shoveled all of their reason. Have you noticed that reason is completely gone from the debate around COVID or vaccinations? You're a bad person if you don't get a shot because you don't care about other people, even though the shot doesn't protect you from getting it and transmitting it to anyone, other people. Their logic, their knowledge. We've known for 100 years that masking doesn't work for an infectious disease, yet we just go ahead and do it. We've known that you don't inoculate into the middle of a pandemic, yet we went ahead and did it. We know that you test vaccines for 5 to 12 years, yet this time we just decided not to. But worst of all, our conscience. And now you've got people, the loving left in particular, that are actually going to late night comedy shows. Howard Stern, Jimmy Kimmel are coming out and saying, if you don't get the shot, you should be turned away from an emergency room and left to die. A lot of comparisons have been made over the past year, 2 years, about the similarities between what happened in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and the United States. Well, this statement right here shows you that we have done, many of the people here, I won't say we because probably the vast majority of my listening audience and myself, we didn't abandon logic, we didn't abandon knowledge, and we certainly didn't abandon our conscience when this came. But a whole swath of people did. Almost kind of spooky stuff. Thanks, Rod Serling. Be right back.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard, melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me. It's Friday morning. If you got paid today, if you would, pull out your paycheck or take a look at your... Everything is emailed now, isn't it? So pull up your email that shows all your federal tax withholding. Always a teachable moment here. Some 2,000 foreign contractors and nonprofits in 177 countries received more than $6.4 billion in United States federal pandemic response assistance between the spring of 2020 and the fall of 2021. This is according to a report by the U.S. Office of the Inspector General's Pandemic Response Accountability Committee, the PRAC. $6.4 billion to 177 countries around the world. Aren't there only 180 countries? Am I right on that, or is it in the 190s or 202 or something? I lose track. That's damn near all of them, I will say that. $6.4 billion. So, anyway, take a look at that federal withholding in your check, and hopefully it just gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a cold day. Hopefully this will warm your heart knowing that you are taking care of people all over the world for a pandemic created by people within our government. And then the response that created the misery that required money to be shipped out everywhere was also created by your government. Just absolutely amazing stuff. And Americans will not care. This is quotes of the day today. Get back to my sheet here. This was just an interesting one. It's nothing real deep or profound necessarily, but its implications are pretty profound if you still have functioning cognitive ability here in the United States. This was a tweet by a guy named Karsten Krogh, K-R-O-G-H. I'm trying to channel my inner Dutchman. Karsten Krogh. He just tweeted this out on January 25th. He said, I'm from Denmark. Children haven't worn masks at any point here. What's happening in the U.S.? The COVID numbers in Denmark are much better than the U.S. Why are children wearing masks? See, this is the rest of the world looking at us. Other countries like Sweden, where last year and in 2020, children were on the playgrounds, jumping rope and in swing sets. No social distancing, no masks, no plastic partitions. They were living their lives. And they were looking from the outside in and looking at the United States and going, wow, they are truly insane. And now we have rolled out on them the bird people in the beak-like N95 masks. Aaron Seary, he's the guy that is suing to get the vaccine safety trial data from Pfizer and from the FDA. If you remember, Pfizer and the FDA had asked for 75 years to provide the vaccine safety trial data. Nothing suspicious about that. Nothing dishonest about that. Nothing non-transparent about that. Well, a judge struck that down and gave them, what was it, 5 months, something like that. Instead of Pfizer and the FDA wanted to produce 500 pages out of something like 147,000 pages of information. They wanted to do 500 pages a month. Well, a federal judge struck that down. I believe it was a federal judge, and said, I think he wanted 55,000 a month starting in March, I believe it was. Well, here's a quote from Aaron Seary. This isn't my quote of the day, and then I'll tell you where the status of where that stands right now. Aaron Seary, this attorney, said, just look at this circus. The government mandates Pfizer's product, gives it immunity for any safety or efficacy issues, promotes its product using taxpayer money, gives Pfizer over $17 billion, and then uses taxpayer money to fight to avoid providing even its most basic level of transparency to the public. Yeah, that is a circus, isn't it? The FDA has now, in light of this ruling by the judge who said, no, you're not getting 75 years to bleed this stuff out slowly. Go ahead and start releasing 55,000 pages a month. FDA has now asked the court to make the public wait until May for it to start producing 55,000 pages per month, and even then claims it may not be able to meet this rate. As the FDA tries to obtain months of delays, guess who just showed up in the lawsuit? That's right, Pfizer. Pfizer, and it's represented by a global chair and team from a law firm with thousands of lawyers. Pfizer's legal bill would likely be multiple times what it would cost the FDA to simply hire a private document review company to review, redact, and produce the documents at issue within weeks, if not days. Pfizer is coming in as a third party, but Pfizer assures the court it is here to help expedite the production of these documents. Huh. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I guess they realize they're pushing up against the last vestiges of people that are willing to take these ridiculous shots. But they need a few more months to make sure they get, they want to wring every nickel and dime they can, get every arm they can. Maybe they've got another variant poised for the spring, and they want to make sure they can get through the spring variant and that third or fourth shot for people who have accepted the vaccine into their lives. Anthony Fauci appeared during a White House press briefing on a Wednesday. He has said that children under the age of four will eventually be submitted to a three-dose regimen of the COVID-19 vaccines. This is an emergency red alert. An absolute emergency red alert. If you give your child, if you give your child under four a three-dose regimen of an experimental vaccine, I think that should qualify as child abuse. Now, I talk a lot on the show. I don't want to be judgy. Everybody makes their own decisions, but I've got to tell you, you're not thinking clearly. Your four-year-old is at no risk of dying of COVID or having really any bad outcomes whatsoever statistically. So to inoculate them with an experimental shot, more on that in just a second, I just think that's flat-out child abuse. I have asked for alien forces. I've asked for alien Child Protective Services to descend upon planet Earth and take our children away from us until we get some kind of much-needed mental counseling. And then our children should be returned when the parents have come back to some level of sanity. A three-dose cocktail for kids under 12. Anthony Fauci believes that this should be able to roll out within the next month. But you don't want to get to the school board meetings. You don't want to call your representative. You don't really want to cause any trouble. There is a video out there. I don't have it queued up to play. I would imagine Jameson will get to it this afternoon, to be honest with you anyway. But there's a video out there taking a look. The military has their own surveillance program. You know, we've got VAERS out here in the civilian world that tracks vaccine adverse events. The military has got their own surveillance system, and it's required reporting. Obviously, the military, awash in cash because conservatives cheer every time they get a budget increase. Awash in cash, at least they have decided to monitor the bad outcomes or the adverse events from this mass vaccination experiment they're doing on our troops, and they're finding some very, very, very troubling things. This is actually probably even more valuable than VAERS. VAERS is valuable, even though Anthony Fauci and the Lion Walensky went in front of Congress and said, oh, it's just a bunch of people who took the shot and then they fell off a ladder. They got hit by a car. It's nothing. It's not real. That's what your CDC director and the mini mingla Anthony Fauci said. Well, with the military, they really wanted to kind of see exactly what this might do to military readiness, see how it's affecting our troops. It hasn't stopped them. They found absolutely abhorrent results. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll send you the link to this story. And I have not verified it, but the story goes through. It's screenshots. It's a video where they are showing screenshots of this information released from the DOD. I believe this was this attorney, what's his name? Renz, R-E-N-Z, is the one that got this information, possibly from a whistleblower. I can't remember exactly the source of this, but it certainly looks legit. I'm going to keep looking at it, but it's amazing stuff. Things like heart attacks and things, some of them up anywhere from 250% over the past year to over 1,000% increase in a bunch of different conditions in troops after the vaccination program was rolled out on them. Absolutely amazing stuff. When I get back, there was a couple of other things. There's a nurse whistleblower in New York City. She spoke to the hearing that Ron Johnson had. Ron Johnson, the hero of the Senate right now when it comes to vaccine safety. Anyway, he's giving a platform, a credible platform, of the sitting U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He's giving them a platform to talk about what they're seeing with this grand experiment. It's not pretty, and no one will talk about it, but you can't ignore a sitting U.S. Senator. As much as I dislike these people, at least this man is using his spotlight and shining it where it needs to be shined. Shined? Anyway, we'll listen to this nurse, and then there's a clip that follows up on it. You know, I don't like, every doctor who prescribes the protocols for the COVID or has run down ivermectin, I don't believe every single one of them are just evil people who want to see you die. But one of these clips in here, somebody wants to see you die. I mean, somebody really does not care about your health. Matter of fact, a bunch of somebodies, and they are the people calling the shots right now. I'll show you when we come back. Stay with me.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, keep in mind that I started the show off with a lot of very lighthearted, fun stuff, because this is not lighthearted, fun stuff. This is a nurse talking about her experience going to New York City when it came to COVID care, and it deserves to be heard. It's not going to be on Fox. It's not going to be on CNN. It's not going to be on ABC, NBC, CBS, so it's going to be here.
My name is Nicole Sirotek. I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for over a decade. My specialty is critical care, trauma and flight. Since the start of the COVID pandemic, I've actually been rebranded, I guess you can say, as a leading expert in early intervention strategies executed on a large mass scale using the FLCCC protocol, as well as COVID patient ventilator protective strategies to optimize COVID patients on the ventilators. My story actually begins back in May of 2020. I was one of the original nurses that went to NYC to help with the COVID pandemic, because as we remembered, they needed nurses. Most importantly, they needed ventilators. Well, I was the whole package, a flight nurse that can manage ventilators. And when I arrived there, the gross negligence and the medical, you know, malfeasance that happened in there and the complete medical mismanagement of these patients is what has led us to the situation that we're in right now. But when I was in New York, and what continues to happen today, is that many of them are not dying from COVID. What we saw in these front lines, we knew what was happening. And when we asked for the IV ibuprofen, they said, no, it was contraindicated. When we asked, like, why aren't we giving them steroids? Oh, well, it's not. We're just following orders. Following orders has led to the sheer number of deaths that has occurred in these hospitals. I didn't see a single patient died of COVID. I've seen a substantial number of patients die of negligence and medical malfeasance. Now, while I was there and I saw that the pharmaceutical companies were rolling out remdesivir onto the patients, I tried to get a hold of the IRBs. I tried to get a hold of my appropriate chain of command. I tried CMS. I tried Department of Health. And they rolled out remdesivir onto a substantial number of patients for which we all saw it was killing the patients. And now it's the FDA-approved drug that is continuing to kill patients in the United States. And so we've collected the data from all of these patients across the country from which we have been helping patients, because I formed the organization American Frontline Nurses and the Advocacy Network so nurses could advocate for these patients. And all of this data pool shows that as these patients get remdesivir, they have a less than 25% chance of survival if they get more than two doses. Now they're rolling it out on children as well and into the nursing homes or skilled nursing facilities as early intervention, when, as Dr. Pierre Corey and Dr. Merrick have already demonstrated, that there are cost-effective medications out there, and we are going to see the amplification of death across our country.
And these are the people that Americans put their health in their hands constantly. I've been telling you for 5 years. Why would they do that, Mike? Why in the world, if they are finding that remdesivir, if the nurses can see it, then the doctors can see it, right? That remdesivir is no good. The study trials on remdesivir were terrible. I believe it was originally purposed for Ebola, but so many people died in the Ebola trials that they had to stop. So why would they use remdesivir? That just can't be right. People would, they would have stopped that immediately once they started seeing those deaths, Mike. Come on now.
You look at the four independent studies, including the large study by the WHO, it shows the opposite effect. Remdesivir increases the risk of death. Let me say that again. Remdesivir increases the risk of death by 3%. It increases your chances of renal failure by 20%. This is a toxic drug. But just to make the situation even more preposterous, the federal government will give hospitals a 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill if they prescribe remdesivir to Medicare patients. The federal government is incentivizing hospitals to prescribe a medication which is toxic.
Well, they do that all the time, actually. This is especially egregious because you take people in what is essentially their most vulnerable state when you have trotted these death numbers out and terrorized 330 million Americans and people around the world with these death counts. But pharmaceutical companies have been compromising patient health in hospitals, have been offering bonuses and these kinds of things. I mean, this system has been around for a while. I hate that it takes this for people to finally see it, to start to understand exactly how captured our medical establishment is. When you see medical boards that are taking doctors' licenses, and I've got a clip on that. I don't have time to play it. I think I might save it for my health show next week anyway. But When you see these medical boards threatening to take doctors' licenses for alternative treatments to this remdesivir, you understand that they're bought and paid for, too. These are the ones that sign off and dictate your care in the hospital. Now, they are handmaidens to, I guess, what we should just call big medicine, or what I lovingly call the medical mafia. So it's remdesivir. If we ever had any honest accounting, you would probably find that the treatments over the past 2 years of people in the hospital have accounted for far, far, far more deaths than COVID would have ever produced. Now, there's some vulnerable people that would have died from flus, too. We know that. COVID would have killed some people. But if we had any honest accounting, I bet you that number would be really, really small, absent toxic drugs like remdesivir and delayed treatment when they said there was nothing you could do but go home and wait until you were sick enough for the emergency room. Crime against humanity.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, and it's Friday. Every Friday at 10 o'clock, we do. I've got to get a crowd together. False Flag Friday, where I convince you, try to convince you. I give you the facts. You should come to the conclusion that basically every war and military action for the last 100 years, at least, in the United States has been based on lies and propaganda. And we allow them to send our sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters to God knows where on planet Earth to fight and die in the sand or the jungles based on a lie, all at the behest of the Wall Street warmongers. It's just fact. And it's not unique to the United States. Other countries do it, too, and have done it throughout all of history. But we are not immune, and it's time for Americans to wake up and realize you do not need to bankrupt this country with a $1 trillion military budget just to appease the Wall Street warmongers who are concerned with pipelines in Ukraine, for example. This is an interesting one. I'm going to throw this in False Flag Friday because, you know, as I've told you, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a coincidence theorist. And this was an interesting coincidence that took place. Was this yesterday? Let's get to the top of the story here, so I'll just read it verbatim here. 10 people were injured when a snow-covered bridge in Pittsburgh collapsed Friday morning, just hours before President Joe Biden is scheduled to visit for a previously arranged trip to discuss, anyone, infrastructure. According to Pittsburgh Fire Chief Daryl Jones, 3 people were taken to local hospitals, though none had life-threatening injuries. Now listen to this statement by, I guess, a witness here. It said, quote, "It sounded like a huge snowplow pushing along the surface with no snow. I don't know what it was. It was very frightening." Now, as I say, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but if you're trying to push through trillions of dollars of new spending that, let's just go ahead and be honest about it, most of the buddies of politicians are going to get their hands on. You're trying to push through this spending. A bridge collapse a couple of hours before you make a speech about it. Pretty compelling stuff. I would imagine his speech might reference this. Just saying. Biden apparently held a call with the Ukrainian minister, and this Ukraine stuff is getting more and more absurd by the day. Of course, you really have to travel in some media outside of the United States to understand exactly how absurd the hysteria here in our local media and at the governmental level is about this Ukraine-Russia situation. Headline yesterday on the Daily Mail, and the UK says, Biden says he warned Ukraine's President Zelensky during a call to, quote, "prepare for impact," unquote, and that the Russian forces could, quote, "sack Kiev." I know, they're calling it Kiev now. I'm sticking with Kiev. Kiev, I don't know. It might even be accurate. I don't know. I mean, it's Kiev to me. So Biden tells the president of Ukraine, you know, who's in Ukraine, that Russian forces could sack their capital, but White House denies any new action even as Fort Bragg's 82nd Airborne waits on standby. So there's been some walking back of this call and the claims that these things were said. But Biden is all in a tizzy. There was a quote from someone called Release the Pozo. I don't know exactly what that means, but I looked at this guy. That's Jack Posobiec. And, you know, he does at Human Events, I think is what he does. He tweeted this, breaking, Ukrainian president had to correct Biden multiple times on their call today when he insisted Kiev was about to be sacked by Russian forces. At one point, he even asked Biden to calm down. I guess Biden was using his get off my lawn tone with Zelensky on the call. Now, here's what you get from foreign people. Quote, Russia's ruble advances by the most since May 7th after the foreign ministry said war with Ukraine would be unthinkable. This is what the Russian foreign ministry is saying. War with Ukraine would be unthinkable. Here in the United States, we're saying any day now. Now they have they tried to head fake us on a Christmas Day invasion. Here's the problem. They've set this up so poorly. You can't false flag an entire invasion of a country by a country that doesn't actually invade. Now, something's going on. We really want this to kick off. Other people do not. Listen to this. This is from Reuters. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky welcomed four-way talks with Russia, France, and Germany as meaningful and a step towards peace. Statement by his office yesterday. Quote, the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, positively assesses The president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, positively assesses the fact of the meeting, its constructive nature, as well as the intention to continue meaningful talks for 2 weeks in Berlin. So you've got the president, and you notice they're not including us in these talks because the psychopaths that run American foreign policy, to which conservatives have cheered trillions of dollars. I'm sorry I keep harping on that, but until I hear a conservative crowd boo a Republican candidate who says, I'm going to increase military budgets, until I hear that en masse, I'm driving this point home. Conservatives, you have been so hoodwinked by the defense contractors posing as national security, air quotes here in the studio. They don't even want the U.S. at these talks because they know we'll scuttle the talks. It was Nixon who sent, I believe it was Kissinger, out to the talks to end the Vietnam War before the 1968 election, and his directive was to scuttle the talks because they thought it would be bad political advantage for the Democrats if Vietnam was ended during Lyndon Johnson's term. They wanted Vietnam to continue to go, and it did, for about another 6 years. That's right, your Republican Nixon administration, along with Henry Kissinger, who even Trump brought into the office to advise him. Great meeting with Henry Kissinger today. He's a real American patriot. Some tweet like that went out from Donald Trump. But Kissinger made sure that another 25, 30,000 Americans died in the Vietnam War, probably another million Asians, because they didn't want a political advantage going into 1968 elections. Nobody wants the U.S. at any peace talks because we scuttle these things. North Korea and South Korea have made many attempts just over the last 10 years to get together and end the Korean War. People like Mike Pompeo warned South Korea. We will abandon you if you have these talks with North Korea. You understand the nature of U.S. foreign policy? If you don't, when I come back, I'm going to take a break. Tucker Carlson did a Mike Madison clip, did a Mike Madison segment a couple of nights ago. So I'm going to listen. I praise Tucker Carlson for doing this and making sure that the word gets out on this con job that is the Wall Street warmonger profit machine that Americans have cheered for decades. I praise him for that, but he needs to do a tiny bit more research and maybe look to his own organization. I'll explain to you when we come back. Stay with us. It's hard to do much humorous stuff in False Flag Friday because the consequence of the psychopaths who run our foreign policy result in the deaths of tens of millions of people around the world. Over decades and decades and decades. Again, other countries do this as well, but I don't live in other countries. My tax dollars don't go to pay for other countries' malfeasance, so I talk about it here. It's tough to have anything really funny in this segment, except this did kind of crack me up. U.S. Navy races to recover crashed F-35 stealth jet in South China Sea before Beijing does. In the story that said, quote, there's a huge opportunity for the Chinese if they were able to get a copy of an actual F-35 to reverse engineer its features. I laugh because the F-35 has been an unmitigated disaster. It's in the trillions of dollars for this one fighter jet, and even pilots have come out and said, this thing is not ready for prime time. Like, can we please go back to the F-15, F-22, whatever this thing is? Yeah, we might have crashed that thing on purpose to give it to the Chinese to sabotage their Air Force. All right, I want to get to this clip. Tucker Carlson, as I said, he's kind of doing a Mike Madison segment here, but I love it. I don't care who does it. He's got the audience. The more people that understand this stuff, the better.
But what's Politico's excuse? The fashionably liberal political blog has been pushing for war in Ukraine for months now. Why? What's in it for them? Well, let's see. A few days ago, Politico published this terrifying headline, quote, Saki, Russia could at any point launch an attack in Ukraine. The piece goes on to promise that, quote, experts and policymakers are now preparing for a range of escalatory measures. Well, that sounds scary. We better send billions more in military hardware to Ukraine right away. Beneath the headline, you learn why Politico's interested, because the story is, quote, presented by Lockheed Martin. Aha! In other words, defense contractors think it is high time to spend much more on defense contracting in Ukraine. Politico is happy to make their case in exchange for money. Over at the Washington Post, you may have seen this op-ed with this headline, quote, Biden must show that the United States stands ready to support Ukraine militarily if necessary. Now, that piece was written by a man called Michael Vickers. Who's Michael Vickers? Well, among other things, Michael Vickers sits on the board of the weapons contractor BAE Systems. Now, that would seem relevant because war with Russia would be, potentially in any case, highly profitable for BAE Systems. But somehow the Washington Post didn't bother to tell readers about this. It remained undisclosed.
All right. So I love it. This certainly is happening. Now, Tucker, I love you, man. I want to help you in your investigative efforts. So let me posit this to you. You're not far. Matter of fact, you sit right in the middle of the hornet's nest of dishonest reporting on issues related to war. I have done this segment two or three times since I've been on the air because I think it's so important people understand this. I'll touch on it a little bit here, and then I may do another full show on it. It's a two-hour topic of the Wall Street warmongers littering our airwaves and our media without disclosing that they are Wall Street warmongers as they try to convince the American people to kick off another military intervention. Right there in Fox, Tucker. Next time you're walking down the hallway and you bump into Jack Keane, he is the strong-jawed, retired colonel, general that comes on the Lou Dobbs show probably every day, at least last time I saw the ridiculous, horrific Lou Dobbs show. He has Jack Keane constantly on to talk about how we need to exercise American leadership, and they never disclose underneath Jack Keane's name on Fox News. They always say, retired Major General Jack Keane, Fox military analyst. What they fail to disclose every time he appears is that he was also a director of General Dynamics, one of the largest military services company, and a venture partner of SCP Partners, a defense-focused investment firm. Only his military and think tank affiliations were identified when he goes on Fox. He's also a consultant, a strategic advisor for Academy. He's also lobbied on behalf of AM General, the firm that produces Humvees. Keane first became the executive chairman of AM General in October of 2016. So see, this is Fox. I've got a list here. You want to go through them? I think it's fun. Stephen Hadley has voiced strong support for a strike in Syria. These are older stories, but I just want you to understand the players that you're seeing on this, air quotes here in the studio, conservative Fox channel. Stephen Hadley has voiced strong support for a strike in Syria in appearances on Bloomberg TV, Fox News, and CNN, as well as the Washington Post op-ed, though he has a financial stake in Sirius Strike, is a current Raytheon board member and is also a principal at consulting firm Rice Hadley Gates. If you're a Fox viewer, you may see, and Tucker bumps into at the snack table, retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Thomas McInerney. He's a Fox News contributor whose track record includes advising neoconservative advocacy groups like the Center for Security Policy and working as an executive in the defense industry, including at Loral Defense Systems, Nortel Government Solutions, and Signal Technology Corps. Tucker, you might, as you're standing at the urinal, hear the door open and be standing shoulder to shoulder with Major General Robert Scales. Scales' online Fox News bio states that General Scales is the president of Colgin, a consulting firm specializing in issues relating to land power, wargaming, and strategic leadership. According to its website, Colgin, quote, assists the land power services in creating future warfighting doctrine and operational concepts and translates these concepts into useful strategies and actions for industry, the media, and the congressional and executive branches of government. Colgin's growing list of satisfied clients includes defense contractors such as General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin, as well as multiple elements of the Department of Defense such as U.S. Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. When Tucker's pulling up to his, I'm sure, reserved spot, maybe he sees, walking through the parking lot, on the way to Fox News to tell you why we need to kick off the next war, Bill Cowan, William V. Cowan. He's a Fox News analyst and chief executive of the WVC3 Group. The WVC3 Group is an anti-terrorism security firm headquartered in Ruston, Virginia. Or maybe he goes through security at the Fox. Tucker might be going through security and see the smiling face of Timur J. Eads, a Fox analyst. He's the vice president of government relations for Blackbird Technologies and a lobbyist for Science Application International Corporation and EMC Corporation. Maybe at the Christmas party, he bumped into John C. Garrett at Fox News. He's a retired Marine colonel and unpaid analyst for Fox News TV and radio. He's also a lobbyist at Patton Boggs, who helps firms win Pentagon contracts. So Tucker Carlson nails it when he's talking about Politico and he's talking about the Washington Post. But he has got the snakes, the vipers are all around him. Boy, I tell you what, I got a lot of respect for stuff Tucker Carlson does on his show. But boy, I can't imagine the respect I would have if Tucker Carlson said, we're going to tell you who you've been listening to right here on this network for the past 20 years. It is nothing but a laundry list of lobbyists and board members for defense contractors endlessly telling conservatives you need to support every war and every military budget increase because they get the money. One of the nastiest games, the Pentagon has got a program where they take these retired guys, littered, their chest littered with commendations and medals, and they train them on how to go out to the media. It's the Pentagon's media program. They train them how to go out into the media and promote more war for the defense industry. And Americans are, oh, okay. Unbelievable stuff. Last one here. Just something to think about. Well, let me throw this in too. I appreciate Jason sending me this and reminding me. You know, I've talked a lot about the 500,000 children that died in Iraq during the 1990s under the Clinton administration due to the sanctions, no-fly stuff that H.W. Bush put in, and then Bill Clinton, you know, the great humanitarian, Clinton Foundation, Bill Clinton enacted all of these measures to isolate and punish Iraq. 500,000 children died during the 1990s. Secretary of State Madeleine Albright said in an interview she thought it was worth it. 500,000 children were killed at the hands of what is ostensibly a pro-life country. But now we've got news that is coming out from UNICEF that there are 1 million Afghan children at risk of dying from starvation right now. Another foreign policy success of the United States. Yeah, we left them a lot better than we found them, didn't we? The Taliban was in charge when we got there. They were in charge when we left. But when we got there, 1 million children weren't at risk of malnutrition and starvation. But when it comes to false flags, this is one to keep our eye out. I'll close with this one.
Here in the U.S., the Department of Homeland Security is warning of a potential troubling escalation in tactics from right-wing extremists. Catherine Herridge has more on this, and she joins us from Washington. Catherine, we understand the power grid could be a target.
Good morning. According to the intelligence report obtained by CBS News, these groups have developed credible and specific plans to attack the power grid since at least 2020 as a way to disrupt the country and the ability of government to operate. The report warns extremists adhering to a range of ideologies will likely continue to plot and encourage physical attacks against power networks, which include more than 6,400 plants and nearly a half million miles of high voltage lines. While the bulletin emphasized small scale attacks are unlikely to cause widespread power loss, it may cause disruption to critical infrastructure like hospitals and police departments. Homeland Security noted several indicators, including online chatter. While the report does not suggest an imminent threat, the Homeland Security Secretary has warned lone wolf actors and small bands of extremists are among the greatest domestic threat because they are hard to detect, disrupt, and can mobilize quickly.
And that is how you tee up a false flag to be blamed on American patriots. You start attacking the grid, you put that together with the false flag cyber pandemic that the World Economic Forum has cooked up. You blame it on Russian. You blame it on conservatives here in this country. You take down a power grid, and then that justifies any draconian policies they want to do, like detaining Americans without cause, calling them terrorists. Again, that report comes from Homeland Security and your intelligence agencies that conservatives have cheered for $1 trillion. They get a portion of the $1 trillion budgets. I know, I'm hammering that point home, aren't I? It's a teachable moment. Libertarians have been warning you about this for decades. I'll be right back. What's the frequency? Can it be shot? Benz or train? All right, we are back. This is Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And I want to remind you, I'm going to tell you now, warn you, if you're looking for something to do for lunch today, if you're looking for a place to go catch a game this weekend, one of the playoff games or some basketball games, any of these types of things, then I want to refer you to Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right up there by Germantown High School. You got 10-inch brick oven fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, and I have been digging on their salads. You know, I'm eating keto these days, so I'm keeping my carbs down for a little while as I burn off within 2 or 3 weeks all the holiday poundage that I put on. It'll take me 2 or 3 weeks, and I've been eating the chopped salads from Your Pie, and they're absolutely fantastic. I like a chopped salad that you can eat with a spoon. I don't want to be wrestling with some old big piece of lettuce. Anyway, again, they're 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, veteran-owned, locally-owned business. And has survived the Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs administration to come out the other side. I want you to support them. Make sure if you do visit Your Pie, you're going to go many times. So you might as well get kicked off on your first visit and download the Your Pie app. When you do that, you scan a barcode on your receipts and you'll earn points for free pizzas and gelatos and all kinds of goodies up there. So anyway, that's Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up in Gluckstadt. Express your inner pizza. All right, it is time for the end of the week segment as I document humanity's, I want to say slow slide into insanity, but it feels like it's accelerating. We do this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! One thing that has really bugged me about, there's a whole lot of things that bug us all about the response to COVID, and particularly the celebrity class that wags their finger at us. I found an example of that. This is a kind of a bad one. This was, of course, on The View. On The View, they really went into attacking Joe Rogan on The View. Round table of wisdom or something? I can't remember what they call it. The View is not that. Four mental midgets get on TV every day. I think I'm competing with them right now, as a matter of fact. The battle for the soul of America is between the Mike Madison Show and The View, which compete with each other from 10 to 11 o'clock. I think it's 10, maybe 9. I don't watch it. But anyway, this is Whoopi Goldberg taking on Joe Rogan.
It's not just people on the fringe either who are you know, speaking out like this. And over the weekend, Bill Maher made a case for people who are vaccinated, boosted, and have been following the rules since all of this started. Take a look.
I don't want to live in your paranoid world anymore, your masked paranoid world. You know, you go out, it's silly now. You know, you have your mask, you have to have a card, you have to have a booster, they scan your head. Like you're a cashier and I'm a bunch of bananas. I'm not bananas, you are.
That's not really funny to people who have lost their kids to this vaccine, or people who've lost family members or dear friends to this. It's just, you know, listen, nobody on the planet really wants to go through this. This is not something we're doing because it's, you know, sexually gratifying. This is what we're doing to protect our families. And you don't have to do it, but stay away from everybody. Because if you're the one who's...
I love this entitlement that these people have. They get to have society, you have to stay away from them. They're the ones that are in fear of leaving their home without donning a hazmat suit, but we need to make accommodations for them. It really seems logically like it should be the other way. Those of us who want to go out and live our lives, we just live our lives. If you're scared to death of a microscopic particle, then you're the ones that should stay home and stay away from us. If you are scared of me unmasked, it is your responsibility to stay away from me, to preserve your health, if you think that's what it takes. It just cracks me up. These people want us to upend our lives because of their paranoia.
Not paying attention, and you're coughing and sneezing, you don't want to... Then stay out of the public, man. This is not... Nobody wants this.
That's Whoopi Goldberg, new dictator, outlawing, coughing and sneezing in public.
I don't want it. And I think he's forgetting that people are still at risk who cannot get vaccinated. People who can't get the little kids under the age of 5.
Yeah.
Or people with health conditions. How dare you be so flippant, man?
Yeah, we should end lightning, too. Come on. Kids are more at risk of getting struck by lightning than dying of COVID. These kids are just walking around, lightning everywhere.
They act like they're over it, like a relationship. I'm over it. I don't feel like seeing him anymore.
I don't think to the post-mask part, because I think there's a prudence we've learned with the mask, the hand sanitizing, that kind of like 9/11 with flying is always going to be here now. There's a new normal. In the beginning,
no, it's not.
At post-9/11, people didn't want to fly.
That's going to be in your life from now on. It's not in a lot of our lives.
And the security measures felt like, how do we do this, you know? And now it's the norm. I think some of the things we've learned in this pandemic are going to stay the same. I may never ride a subway again without a mask. I may never go indoors to big crowds and ever feel comfortable without a mask. And that's up to me to do that.
Exactly. Live in your paranoid, hypochondriac world as much as you want. God love you. Go with God. You got a mental illness. I feel bad for you. Don't impose that crazy on me. And I wanted to be real clear. That is the morbidly obese Whoopi Goldberg lecturing us on our health, right? Just to be clear, have you seen Whoopi Goldberg? She's obese. She really cares about her health, doesn't she? I mean, it really shows. Take a look at Whoopi Goldberg. You can really see how concerned she is about her health. And she's in such a great position to lecture the rest of us on health outcomes for the American people. This is the disgusting Jen Doctor. This is a doctor, Dr. Jen Ashton. She's one of the ABC nut jobs. Somebody asked her about vitamins, and she reluctantly, but she makes a real qualifier here on any vitamins and disease.
Are there any vitamins that I can be taking to lessen my chances of contracting Omicron or other COVID-19 variants?
There's so many people asking this question, Jen. Yeah. So first, some qualifiers. Absolutely, to be crystal clear, none that replace vaccination, boosting, and then, you know, the lower level kind of protection mechanisms that we have, like masking. Okay. That being said, there is a decent amount of data linking observational data and association vitamin D3 with a lower risk of viral upper respiratory infections. That is not new. And in the
it's not new. We've known about this all the time. We've just never, ever mentioned it. We didn't think Americans really cared about reducing your risk of going into the ER, the ICU. with something that is effective and has been known for decades to fight all kinds of infections and improve the quality of your life. This is not new, she says. Well, then why the hell haven't you been talking about it?
Setting of the pandemic, association observation data that links people with low D3 levels, people who are elderly, people who don't get outside a lot in natural sunlight, people who are
people who we locked into their homes and kept them away from the sun for 6 months at a time.
Dark skinned or overweight or obese, all known to have risk factors for low D3 levels. There's data that links those people with worse outcomes of COVID-19. However, I want to be crystal clear. If you want to take 1,000 units a day in supplement form for your overall health and well-being, that is unlikely to do any harm. But you cannot, at this point, rely on any miracle vitamin to protect you against COVID.
Absolutely.
Those are scams. That is not evidence-based medicine.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Man, we live in a corrupt society. Holy crap. Holy cow, we live in a corrupt society. And just to show you the mass mental breakdown that we've had as a nation, and again, going back to that quote of the day from Rod Serling, where he said, you know, we lost all logic, all knowledge, and we lost our conscience. Here's a great example of America, and particularly the medical mafia, the medical establishment, losing their conscience.
A hospital in Boston has denied a heart transplant to a man who's unvaccinated. Medical experts say the hospital's decision comes down to the likelihood of the transplant's success.
A cold could kill you. COVID.
Oh, we're going to go to our expert so he can justify sentencing a man to death because he did not submit to the experiment.
Could kill you. The organs are scarce. We're not going to distribute them to someone who has a very poor chance of living when others who are vaccinated have a much better chance post-surgery of surviving.
The hospital says it does everything possible to make sure organs go to patients with the best odds of survival.
All right. You hear that, fatties? No transplants for you. Smokers? No transplants for you. Elderly? You hear that? No transplants for you. Only young, healthy people with bright futures get transplants from now on. Yeah, you fatties out there, you go ahead and cheer this, that we don't give a heart to the unvaxxed. You're next. You are next by that metric. We're not giving a transplant to anybody who doesn't have a bright future ahead of themselves with great health outcomes. Further insanity?
Authorities in Los Angeles say everyone attending the Super Bowl next month will be given a KN95 mask.
Bird
They'll
people.
Be asked to keep the mask on, except when they're eating or when they're drinking.
I saw a story. There was a guy who took a flight. This is genius. I love the creativity of human beings when they're confronted with this insanity. You know, on an airplane, I guess you gotta keep your mask up unless you're eating or drinking. The guy apparently had a French fry in his mouth for 3 hours. 3 hours. They talked about that on the Dana Lash show. One of the guys on the Dana Lash show suggested beef jerky. I think that's a good idea. French fry after 3 hours, got to be pretty mushy and disgusting. But yeah, get some jerky. Keep that stuff hanging out of your mouth for a 3 hour flight. Check this one out. Again, this is documenting the insanity of the entire world, particularly the Western world. It started out praising these Canadians fighting for their freedom, but the government is still full of nut jobs. Check out this policy in Canada.
Today, big box stores that have a footprint of 1,500 square meters or more are going to have to ask people, customers, to show proof of vaccination. Now, pharmacies and grocery will be exempt from this. So if you're going into a Costco or a Walmart or something like that, where you might be going in to buy groceries or visit the pharmacy, in that case, an employee will have to be with that person as they walk through the store to make sure that they do not go and buy other products or other items that might be in the store.
They got to send an escort with you into the store to make sure that you don't veer off the approved aisles and buy something else. Because, you know, that's where COVID strikes, right? It strikes on those aisles of those other products. Yeah, I mean, you can go into the store. You can walk around. You can buy stuff off certain aisles. Oh, but it's an existential threat to all of Canadians' health if you go onto that T-shirt aisle and pick up a Hanes. Golly, that would be fun to play around with if I was in Canada. A lot of head fakes. This guy's following you around, maybe with a clipboard or with a stun gun, however they enforce this thing. And just every now and then you just start, you know, kind of slowly walking towards an unapproved aisle, and then you just turn around before you get to it. They're just about to say something. They're raising their finger. Excuse me. And you just turn around like nothing's happening. Oh, that'd be a lot of fun. I could waste a lot of people's time in a Canadian store like that.
Omicron breaches New Zealand borders. PM Jacinda Ardern.
Omicron has breached the borders in New Zealand. I don't know if how many people... I'm a public school graduate, Mississippi not known for its education and probably geography. New Zealand, pretty small island. Somehow COVID, I guess, has flapped its wings to get across the Pacific and has breached the borders, knowing that there are vaccine passports, requirements to be vaccinated to get to the island. So I guess somebody who was vaccinated brought it in. They call it breaching the borders.
Has moved the country to a red COVID alert level. Harsh new restrictions could see household close contacts isolating for 24 days.
24-day isolation in New Zealand.
Ardern has also had to cancel her own wedding.
Aww. My wedding will not be going ahead, but I just join many other New Zealanders who have had an experience like that as a result of the pandemic. And to anyone who's caught up in that scenario, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry I've turned into a dictator and stripped you of your rights. Oh, that's sweet. She canceled her wedding. She's one of y'all.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Yeah, speaking of insanity, the government breaking in with just tones every now and then. Yeah, they cut into my time. I don't have time for all of these clips. Bad timing. I was going to tell you a fear word of the day, the stealth variant. I forgot to add that last segment's COVID craziness. It's the stealth variant, fear word of the day. Let's see what we got here. This was interesting. I haven't talked about the Supreme Court situation just because everybody else is, and I've really run out of time to talk about things. But Jonathan Turley pointed out a pretty funny thing, a little bit of hypocrisy over this idea that Joe Biden's going to nominate a black woman. He just comes out and says it. The sad thing is he could have just come out and said, I'm going to get the most qualified candidate, then picked a black woman without telling us ahead of time and said, could have all looked and gone, look at that. A black woman's the most qualified person. But instead he just went, I'm just looking for black women. I don't care if they're the most qualified or not. But Jonathan Turley points out something kind of funny.
Now, what happens from here is going to get rather interesting. We know that that President Biden has already pledged that he will only consider an African-American woman for the court. And when he made that pledge, I wrote a column at the Times saying that's a rather curious pledge to make on a court that wouldn't allow that type of approach for college admission. But when it comes to admissions on this court, you're saying that you won't consider anyone who is male or who is not African-American. And so that's going to come up again very quickly. And the irony is the Supreme Court just accepted two cases on the use of race preferences in college admissions.
Yes.
And so this is obviously going to come up where the president's going to have to decide if he intends to fulfill a pledge that the court would never allow if he was actually admitting someone to a college.
So I guess they need to appeal Biden's call for a black woman judge. They need to appeal it to the Supreme Court. Jen Psaki came out and made a little flub.
Or I get rid of you, which I'm enjoying you so much today. I really am.
I'm enjoying you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
But a little bird told me that you said you might be resigning the job this year. Say it isn't so. Is it true?
I don't know when I'm leaving. This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden every single day.
President Biden. Let's see what else we got. Oh, I've got a good one that I don't have time for there. Let's try this one. Here's a mom who loves her daughter and is going to pay the price for it.
A former teacher in Florida accused of rigging a homecoming vote for her daughter will go on trial at the end of the month. Laura Carroll faces felony charges. Prosecutors say she used her school district's computer system to access confidential student information to cast bogus votes for her daughter so she could win the title of homecoming queen. She faces up to 16 years in prison if convicted.
Ouch. 16 years for trying to win homecoming queen. Lori Loughlin only got 3 months for paying $500,000 to get her kid in USC. Oh, gosh. I said she loved her daughter. She was probably doing it for her own glory. This one was kind of interesting because it made me pause and have an uncomfortable thought. A woman in Walmart in Texas this month reportedly offered another shopper $500,000 for her infant child. The bizarre encounter took place in Crockett, Texas, when two women were reportedly both at the self-checkout line. A mother online said 49-year-old Rebecca Taylor commented about her son's blonde hair and blue eyes before asking how much he costs. Now, obviously, this is a sad sick story, and there's all kinds of things. My first thought was, boy, I would imagine for most parents, it really depends on the day you catch them. I don't know about you. You take your children through Walmart for a 30-minute grocery shopping trip, and you catch them at the end of that. There's a good possibility that some parents will get rid of the child, no matter how much they loved him before they got to the Walmart, for probably a hell of a lot less than $500,000. I've got a couple other clips. I do not have time for them. Let's see if we, here's one last uplifting quote for y'all.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is seeking re-election this year, officially ending speculation that she might give up her post. The California Democrat released a statement saying U.S. democracy is at risk, which makes the upcoming election, quote, crucial. Pelosi's announcement comes despite a 2018 pledge that her current term would be her last.
So great. See you tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.